Hi, this is Robert Stanley. I'm the host of the Unicus Report, where we explore enigmatic events taking place both on and off this world. Please join me Mondays from noon till 2 p.m. Eastern on Revolution Radio, Freedom's Lips.
Join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday for Free Association, when we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Studio B at freedomslips.com.
There have been imaginative science fiction writers for generations.
Be evasive.
But that doesn't mean that they're telling the truth as opposed to fiction.
Now, you know, I'm aware of some archaeologists that have uncovered large bones indicating giants in Virginia. Genesis chapter 6, verse 4. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, indicating that there were giants before the Nephilim.
And sons of God, plural. They weren't talking about Jesus coming down.
That's right. Yeah.
I'm Steve Crawford. Join me every Thursday night in Studio A at 6 p.m. Eastern for Factor Theory Live. Find us on www.revolution.radio. Great guests and great stories.
What do you believe?
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Thanks for listening while we take that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Oh yeah, the crowd goes wild. Before we start, I would like to say that I'm tethered to my mobile phone because there's a massive internet outage in my neighborhood here where I live. So I do apologize for any sound quality issues or even transmission issues. If you lose me, I'm in the chat right now. Without further ado, though, welcome to Plato's Cave on WCSR, coming to you from Australia for Revolution Radio on revolution.radio. It's home to fresh, relatively uncensored ideas and conversations in the chat room, and a place to get your merch. The station is not beholden to anyone, but does require your support. Please donate or subscribe or buy some of that awesome merch, if you can, if you want. Now, because the station is not sponsored by anyone except for you, the listener, it behooves me to ask you to donate if you can. So if you have a couple of bobs spare, a couple of bucks, you know, that you don't need, please go ahead and donate. Any form of currency is fine, including crypto, money orders, whatever. It's your poison. It's all good. It's all fine by us. So please donate if you can. Now, if you can't, it's okay. I know I keep saying it. Things are tough all over, and that's because things are tough all over. So maybe you can't donate. That's okay. Maybe tell your friends and family instead. Tell them about the station, get them to listen, and maybe one of those good folk can donate. Thank you very much. Today is the 4th of April, 2023. 4-4, 2023. And you can catch the cave on air, online, and on your smart device. So you grab an app to listen anywhere or listen at home on a Grace Tabletop Digital Radio. Even better news is that the archives are free. Free. That's right. Free delicious. So get onto the another page, revolution.radio. Really easy. Revolution.radio. You type it like I say it. And you can listen to all the archives. There's a whole bunch of stuff in there. You know, so it should be pretty cool. Should be pretty fun. Should be all right, I say. Should be all right. If you can't, right? Just go ahead. And do that. Before I start broadcasting at Unanger, and it's just me today, Dave is stuck on a train. He was working late. He's a hard-working man. I would like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land from which I broadcast. And for me, here in today was actually quite sunny. In sunny Pemulwuy, it's the Darug people. And with that, I would like to pay my respects to elders past, present, and future. Thank you very much. Yes, Pemulwuy is good, except for the occasional internet outage, which is what I'm suffering from right now. So I'm hoping there's somebody in the chat that can tell me if my sound is coming through. Okie dokie. If not, let me know. But there's very little I can do to improve the quality of my sound at this point. Now, where are we? Where are we? Well, that's a good question. I was going to talk about our monetary system a bit because people still don't understand how it works. Okay? I'm not going to talk about interest. I will talk about interest. I won't talk about inflation. I've talked about it a lot. My mouth is bleeding. I do hope that people understand how the whole system hangs together, at least on that end, and realize that it's a big con. It's a huge con. But before I talk about our financial system at large and how it's not doing us any favors at all, none, zero, I'd like to talk about Mr. Trump. So, we're hours away, if I'm not mistaken, from arraignment fingerprinting, mugshot taking of Donald Trump. This is just unheard of. Now, look, again, am I a big Donald Trump fan? No, I'm not. I'm not. There's a lot of stuff that I don't like about him. But what's happening right now, that's not cricket. That's not cricket. Yeah, I mean, what? Oh, okay, there goes that web page. He did not commit a capital crime. I don't care how many things you want to, bring up here. And no, okay, so he allegedly had a relationship with Stormy Daniels, allegedly. And then he allegedly paid her off not to talk about it during the election because it would damage his reputation. Blah, 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 blah. That's not the problem. The problem apparently is that he did pay off, but he told his company or his tax accountant to claim it as a business or something, or election expense or something. Well, essentially, it's a question of how he classified the money, if he in fact paid her off, the money with which he paid her off, how he classified it, what he claimed it to be. That's the issue here. Like I said before, they couldn't get Al Capone on his crimes, so they got him on taxes. Now, I'm sure Mr. Trump has done things that aren't above board. Again, you know how I feel about billionaires. There are too many. One is too many. But by the same token, if this is the best you can do, as far as Donald Trump is concerned, stop. Stop. You're wasting everybody's time and money. Okay? If you want to get him for the insurrection, you know, January 6th, I think, whatever, or 8th, I can't remember now. But the point is, if you want to get him for that, then get him for that. If you think he did that, he's at faulty and there could have been an insurrection or whatever, then go and get him for that, if that's what you think he did. But this is going to cost an arm and a leg. The taxpayer is going to pay for this. He's an ex-president. No ex-president in the United States has ever seen the inside of a jail after they had been president. No one was even charged. No one was. Richard Nixon wasn't charged. And he demonstrably broke into his rival's headquarters office, stole documents, and was caught red-handed. Even though he says, no, I didn't know about it, blah, 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 sure, whatever. He didn't go to jail. Gerald Ford, pardon him. It was Gerald Ford. Come on. Is he the poster boy for the ethical businessman? No, he's not. But enough already. Honestly. What next? Well, okay. What if that doesn't stick? What are we going to do then? When he was 18, he stole chewing gum from the corner shop. We got it on video. Ooh. Ooh. His hair isn't real. He's wearing a piece, I'm telling you. Come on. Is it? If you hate him so much, find something that sticks, that isn't ridiculous. So right now, as I said it before and I'll say it again, this is helping Donald Trump. This whole hoo-ha, this whole circus and whatever is actually helping him. Okay? The Republicans are galvanizing. They're lining up behind him. Okay? I reckon he's a shoo-in for the Republican nomination. He wasn't before. You remember the midterms? That was a bloodbath. Yeah, I do follow American politics, believe it or not. A bloodbath, I say. Okay, he lost a lot of support because none of his candidates got elected, right? But now, with so obviously being the victim of a, I don't even know what to call this. It's not a witch hunt. It's the witch hunt. We've gone past the witch hunt. This is something else entirely. This is not a witch hunt. The futurist just posted a really cool picture. It's Donald Trump standing in Trump Tower, and there's clearly what seems to be an FBI agent hanging on the window next to him with a sucker cap and binoculars, or maybe listening devices, trying to see if he did something wrong there. I think it's hilarious. It's not a witch hunt. This is a witch hunt. You can shrug a witch hunt off. This is something else. This is something completely different. So no, I don't think this is in any which way useful for anyone. Okay, except for Donald Trump. It might be good for him, right? I mean, okay, being nominated is one thing, winning the election is another. But the thing is this: you can't stop him from running for the election. Even if he is in the courtroom defending the charges, if it comes to that, he can still run for president. He can still run for president. The questions, and I don't know the answer to this. I don't know because this has never happened. I have no idea what the convention here would be. What happens if he gets convicted of a felony? That's like the bad crime, right? Not a misdemeanor, but a felony. Can he still be president if he's convicted of a felony and then sent to jail, let's say, even for a day, whatever? Can he still be president? And do the Secret Service have to go with him? So if he were still president, does he take the nuclear football into jail? A safe place, I guess. That can't be. I mean, now we are in the surreal world of Kafka. Now we've entered Kafka's world of the castle, where nothing is as it seems. You just walking around in circles, and it's just complete nonsense. I feel like I'm caught in an Escher painting. You know, the stairs that go in on themselves, that go nowhere, the Möbius strip, you know, the crazy paintings where the hand draws itself. That's the world we're right now inhabiting over here. It's just the shadowland between reason and insanity. And I think we're taking one step too far into insanity. Okay, into insanity territory. I've started writing outlines for my book. I've got one chapter done, The Moon Mystery. It's sort of a side chapter. I think I will call my book Of Pearls and Swine. I think that's what I'll call it. Of Pearls and Swine. I've titled the chapter Of Pearls and Swine. I won't give too much away, but once I finish it, which will hopefully be before I kick the bucket, at least, I hope that some of you find it within yourselves to buy my book. A lot of the content, you probably would have, heard on the shows. There's an original thought there, of course, and the book is intended to lay out my cosmology. Cosmology according to Mackie. That's right. That's true. Speaking of cosmologies, before I get into the monetary system again, we're living in a world that we don't understand on any level. We've got a rudimentary understanding of how things work, we think, but we know there's something fundamentally wrong with our understanding because the observable data points in two very separate theories of existence and reality don't ever meet. They don't come together nicely and sing kumbaya around a nice campfire. Doesn't happen. So we know that our theories are flawed, or our understanding of the theories is flawed, or the universe truly does work in different ways, on different scales. It just does, maybe. Or maybe there's this washout, or who knows? Who knows? But we know one thing for sure is we don't understand what is actually going on. Not really. And I don't care how many PhDs you have, and how many Nobel Prizes you're given. There isn't a single person on the planet that understands what actually is going on. Okay, the nature of reality completely eludes us. Now, in 100 years' time, we look back at this time and go, oh, how come you guys didn't get that? How come you didn't understand that? Oh, man, look at these people. They were so primitive. They're so stupid. Because we do that kind of, right? We look at, the old days. Look at indoor plumbing. Look at that, ha, ha, ha. No medicine, ha, ha. They all died of infection. Didn't discover penicillin. They discovered a whole bunch of other stuff, mind you. They performed brain surgery 2,000, 3,000 years ago. Okay, so that actually happened. They realized that copper kills bacteria. So they inserted copper implements into open wounds to stop bacterial growth. That's pretty good. That's pretty clever, right? We didn't look for penicillin. Okay? We stumbled upon it. Like, we didn't look for uranium or plutonium either. I mean, Marie Curie, she was killed by the radiation because she had no idea what was going on. Ooh, this is ouchy. This rock is ouchy. Yeah, that's right. Most of the inventions, most of the leaps forward were either accidental, inspired, and there's a few of those, or the work of single individuals. That's sort of the essence of the first chapter of my book, which is Of Pearls and Swine. The vast majority of people, they don't drive civilization forward. If anything, they're used to hold civilization back and have done so over and over over the past, whatever thousand years. Because they don't like change. We're creatures of habit. Anybody who brings us change, at best, we are suspicious of. At best. We never embrace change. We never say, oh, change, my old friend, come to me. No, never. And that's because we're tethered to the ground in a cave, looking at the cave wall, and the shadows that are dancing upon it. That's us. Comfortable in the cave. You know? Yeah, your butt cheeks, you know, they you know, form the groove where you sit comfortably. The chains, they don't even chafe anymore. You don't even know they're there. Right? And who can ask for more than shadow puppets on the wall? That's awesome. I mean, that's all you need. Isn't it? Surely. That's all you need. You don't need anything else. That's all you want. Come on. And that's where we are. The few. The vanishingly small number of people that push our civilization forward are almost always prosecuted or laughed at or ridiculed. Right? Galileo, Galilei, Copernicus, you know, all those guys. Oh, the Earth is not the center of the universe? The sun is not the center of the universe. The earth is not flat. You know, some of these people were killed because of what they knew to be true. Not what they believed, but they knew these facts were true. So let's kill them. Kill them. If I can't shut you up, if you're upsetting the status quo, if you're rocking my boat, kicking over my apple cart, and making my peasants run around in circles screaming to high heaven, I will kill you. I will kill you because that's easier than, you know, trying to refute you, which I can't because what you're saying is true. I might know that what you're saying is true, but that doesn't help me because I've got these peasants to rule, you see. And if you're kicking over my apple cart, then all other kinds of questions will be asked. If I've been saying for, you know, whatever, 1,000, 1,500 years, 2,000 years, if I've been saying one thing, right, vested to me, you know, by the authority of God, and God told me, and God said this, and the earth is the center of the universe because God made it. But you all of a sudden come along and say, no, that's not true. What do you think I'm going to do? And that's where the, you know, individual person should have been smarter and realized, yeah, you look, you're right. In fact, a lot of the secret societies that we poo-poo these days were formed to protect knowledge of this nature. The fact. Secret societies were formed to bring together progressive minds that could drive civilization forward. Not always, but, you know, there's a good chunk of secret societies that were formed because of that. You know, brotherhoods, sisterhoods, secret orders that were concerned with either preserving knowledge or gaining new knowledge, enriching the human experience, right? And sometimes knowledge was preserved from long ago, from civilizations that went before us, right? I mean, I'm going to spend a whole chapter in my book talking about all the things that we can't do anymore, that we used to do. If I had the money, I would go out there and say, hey, I will give anyone $1 billion if they can build the pyramids to the exact standards it was built in Egypt, the three great pyramids, even just the one pyramid. Just the one great pyramid. Just build the one. With all the interior the same, on the bedrock, aligned to the cardinal points, all that. And if you can do it, I'll give you $1 billion. I wish I had that money. And I also want to see who's going to take me up on it, because I don't think we can. I don't think we can build it. Now, could we overcome the engineering problems? Yes, we could. I think physically we could do it, right? If you got the right machinery and the right funding and all that, I think we could do it. A lot of effort, it'll cost a lot. It'll probably cost more than $1 billion that I'm offering as a prize here. But, you know, not going to be easy. But I don't think we can. I don't think we have the will to do it, right? So, but bear in mind that the people, at least we say the people that build it didn't have any of the tech we have today. So I don't think we could build it without the tech that we have today. I don't think we can. Right? With the tech that we have today, we probably could. We have to build special cranes, special purpose-built cranes. You know, I mean, we have to use computers for the planning, because you have to, right? Especially for the interior, you've got to make sure everything is just right. You have to get the right dimensions, right, et cetera, et cetera. So, and you have to go into the bedrock as well. And by the way, the pyramid didn't sink in all the time that it's been there. These days, when we build a building, I think 10 centimeters every 100 years is acceptable, which, you know, sinking of buildings into the earth. But that's an acceptable measure, 10 centimeters. I think that's about right. Didn't sink an inch. Yeah, the sand came and blew on it, but it didn't sink into the bedrock, because the pyramids are built on bedrock. Be very clear on that. In fact, part of the pyramidal structure in the chambers are hewn into the bedrock. So if I had the cash, I'd say maybe even 10 billion. Like, if whoever can build the pyramids today exactly as they are, find another place in the earth that's similar, but build them exactly as they are into the bedrock, et cetera, you get $10 billion plus construction costs. How's that? There you go. If I had the cash, I'd do that. $10 billion in construction costs. But you only have 10 years. 10 years. Or 30 years. I think it was 30 years they said they built it. You got 30 years to do it. Okay? Because that's what scientists say, archaeologists, that's how long it took to for the Egyptians to build the pyramids. 30 years. Yeah. Okay. Sure it did. Now, the pure effort of putting rock up on each other, I think, okay, that could have been accomplished. All the other things, the perfect alignment, you know, having it sit on bedrock exactly as it does, you know, the interior design and the sheer logistics it would have taken to build the interior as the exterior went up. I don't think so. I don't think so. But that's just an aside here, right? But if I had the cash, I'd love to do that. I did want to talk about our money system. I've got a half an hour to do that. Not really enough time, but I want everybody to understand that our money system, our economy, what we perceive to be the economy we exist in, is the single biggest fraud. Yeah, I'd say the single biggest fraud committed against humanity. Because you can't win. If you're winning, that's pure chance. Hard work is not going to get you there. Hard work will not let you win. Okay? You can't. You have to be born into the system holding power. And that's the only way to succeed. Or you have a gift that those in power want for their own purposes. But even then, you will never be allowed to the Olympian reaches of their power structure. Okay? The system is rigged against you. The game is not winnable by the majority of the people on the planet. It's not winnable. You don't even know the rules of the game. You're thrown into this world. And if you're lucky, in a hospital, to a family that has a house or a home, at the very least, of some sort, right, in a developed nation, so, you know, you live past your first month, as it were. Let's say that that's in your favor, right? But you will never, ever have the advantage of somebody who has actually set up the game. If, let's say you play Monopoly. Everybody knows Monopoly, right? But you can't see the board. And you can't see your piece. All you see is money going in and out. It's a certain amount coming in and a certain amount going out. the players, the bank, and the players in charge, they can see the board. In fact, they can change the board. They can take the board away altogether if they wanted to. Right? So you have no knowledge of what actually is going on. You can't see the board. What am I doing? I don't know. Can I just throw some dice? Yeah, sure. Knock yourself out. Throw all the dice you want. Will it make a difference? Well, we'll find out. Let's do it. Because no one tells us anything. Right? No one actually tells us about the world and how it operates. There's no education. There's no system that goes, oh, yeah. Okay, so what you should do is you should do this, and this. Then you do that, and then after that, if you don't work, okay, then by the time you're 20, you'll be a gazillionaire. Oh, okay, great, thank you. Because it's a really easy game. It's a really easy game. It's really easy to fix. All right, so it's a game that has been around for thousands of years. And we don't even know it's a game anymore. We don't even know. This is just a world. This is just a world. It's just where we live. People don't realize how rigged it is because the people in charge have done such a great job. And this is through education. They're when they're young in school. Teach them. This is how it is. We used to use God for that. Why do we have a king? Oh, God. It's by God's authority. Is it king or queen or Maharaja or Shah or Khan or whatever? It doesn't matter. But it's because they take control. They can say whatever they want. And you don't know any better. You don't know any. Because whatever you know, they have told you. They have told you the world. Oh, hey. Dave seems to be around. Let's see what I can do. Hopefully I can do it. I'm still tethered to my mobile. See if I can pull him in. Bear with me, guys. All right, so I've added him now, so hopefully he'll jump in on any moment. But look, because everything you know is coming from them, you have to learn yourself. You have to make the effort to go out there and learn for yourself. What it's all about. Because in none of the institutions that exist, the official institutions, not one of them will tell you about the world and how it really operates. It just won't happen. So we all think, oh, this is how it is, and the economy is like that, and banks are too big to fail, and taxes are normal, and I work until I die, and I really have nothing to show for it. My children are in poverty, and Ebola is coming back. That's normal.
Oh, and by the way, servitude.
Sorry?
Servitude.
Servitude, yeah, that's right. How are you, brother? It's a completely rigged game. And all our financial system does is enabling them, right, to exist without actually having to work. Now, think about this for a second, Dave. You come into the world, here you go. And then someone comes to you and says, hey, Dave, do you want to work for the rest of your life or do you just want to do whatever you want to do and not worry about, you know, working and stuff like that? Which one would you choose?
Oh, the latter.
Tough choice, I guess. Right.
Fool.
Pass the credit. Fool. Everybody, it's human nature. Of course you would. So that's what's happening. We have allowed these people to live while we do not. We do not. We exist for the most part. In fact, people living in Australia, America, Europe, we actually have a good chance at some living. We do have a good chance at some living. Okay. People in other parts of the world, no chance. Zero chance. Existing, yes. Living, no. Surviving, maybe, right? And that's the problem. And this entire system that we're in, Is there a better system? Because the thing is this, I can go on about the system and criticize people. Go, oh, yeah, well, what would you do? What would you do? This is what we have. It's the best we have. No, it's not the best we have. It's a complete nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
This is not the best. It could be so much more. It could be so much more. If only we break the cycle. Stop indoctrinating our children. Stop the entire financial system. Stop it. Stop the banks. Stop interest rates. In fact, if you stopped interest rates, just that, just this one change.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
No more interest rates.
Yep.
The world of tomorrow, you would not recognize.
What?
Take that pressure away. Because this interest rate is and then, you know, people being able to lend as much money as they want to anyone, that's what's keeping the parasites in hay.
Yeah, hay.
Well, champagne and caviar, more like.
Why the long face?
Tell me about your evening, my friend.
Busy, long. Just got home. Up at 6.
Dave,
it's that servitude thing, mate, I'll tell you.
Yeah, that's it. So okay, in Australia it's 9:30 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
So Dave just got home, 9:30 p.m.
Yeah.
Dave, I assume you probably left your house 7:38, something like that.
7:15. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So that's 14 hours that he hasn't been home.
That's right.
14 out of 24. And now he's going to maybe have some dinner or, you know, do whatever and then go to sleep.
It's late. It's and late then, to hey. Dinner, but you know.
Yeah. But tomorrow you get to do it again, Dave.
Hurrah!
Woo! Hurrah! Woo!
Yeah.
So tell me how this is.
Just remind
say,
me.
Dave, please.
Just remind me.
So this is it though, guys. This is what I'm talking about. So again, Dave is a professional. Dave is one of the best IT people that I know, engineer, architect, whatever you want to call it, right? And even he is caught on this treadmill, and he knows shit. Pardon my French, but he does. He knows stuff, right? He's still there because why? Because that's this is even. All of us here that know stuff, we know stuff, we understand stuff. We're still obliged and almost inevitably forced into living in the system. If you can get out of the system, good for you. Good for you. I applaud it. I support you 1,000%. If you can get out of the system, I'm the first person who goes, well done. But a lot of us can't, Dave, right? I mean, you'd love to get out of the system. Tell me you wouldn't. I was going to say Dave would love to get out of the system. That's what I'm going to say. You still have your buddy? Hello? Oh, no. I left him. He's left. Oh. Hello? All right, I'm going to try him again. Okay, that doesn't work. Dave, can you hear me? You're still in the call, so you should just be able to join. Dude. Hola. All right, I guess we might have lost him. Someone in the chat, can you still hear me? Just let me know. I hate talking to to the ether when there's no one there. But yes, Dave is a highly skilled individual, and he's also caught there. I'm caught there because we have obligations, right? And these are deeply ingrained and conditioned obligations we feel. Family, you know, country to some extent, I guess, as well, you know, loyalties that you have, your children, blah, blah, blah. But these are deeply ingrained value sets that were given to us in order to control us, in order to control us. Okay? They want to control us. That's what it is. That's what control is all about. You find things that people like, or need, or want, and that's how you can control them. Yeah. Oh. Internet fell over. Okay. I'll get him to try again. All right. So we seem to have rolling outages here in on the eastern seaboard in Australia because Dave is about 100 kilometers away from me, and if he's affected, and then my internet has been down all day, and they're saying it's going to come back tomorrow. Maybe. Hey, Dave, you're back?
I'm back, all right.
Man, so your internet is
it's been flaky all day, yeah, all day.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you, Futurist and Omega Logos. I was just getting a sound check from those guys just in case. Wow, that's incredible because you're like 100 kilometers from me.
About, yeah, there was the next class flare yesterday, and I reckon it's.
Oh, we had solar flares today.
Yeah, the X class one. And it just wipes everything out. Everything like of a certain kind of thing just dies in the butt.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it did. most assuredly it has.
So you're right. I'm about 100 k's from you, and it's 2 hours to work and 2 hours back. So that's 4 hours down the toilet every day, just going in to work, which, you know, that's. Yeah, that's what I signed up for, right? So I'm okay with it. But normally it's beautiful quiet time. Yeah, yeah, it's nice. But today, Mackie, the moment I said the word servitude out loud, my internet fell over. So I've decided.
Oh, like nice.
I texted you. I said today was brought to you by the word servitude and the number 5.
Oh, isn't that the truth? Isn't that the truth?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, sir. I love it. I love it. And you look, you're right. But the thing is, we feel these deep ingrained responsibilities. You know, which again, I'm not saying that's necessarily a bad thing, but it is being used against us. Our sense of family, our sense of I guess, obligation to family and friends and such.
But Mackie, the irony is, of course, in the Western culture, we've actually divided the family. We don't.
Yeah,
live,
no, funny,
we
right?
We don't live in a house with multiple generations. Yeah. I mean, we spoke about that as being a good thing during the pandemic because, you know, your loved ones don't get affected. But what? Right? I know.
See, it's actually part of the extended control, because the thing is this, if you look at cultures where you have the extended family living together, and I mean extended cousins as well, right? The support network is phenomenal. So the pressure on the individual that we feel, for example, is not as great because everybody pools together. Everybody bands together. A village really does raise your child. So these so-called primitive cultures are, in fact, exactly how we should be living. We should be living in fairly large communities. You know, in Malaysia, for example, they have these long houses. And there's like 5, 6, 7, 10 families living in this long house. And each family has its own section, but the corridor is communal, for example, right? And cooking facilities are usually shared, and people just wander in from one, it's not really an apartment, you can't call it that, but from one living area to another.
And there's so the children, safety rail, and they're on poles.
Yes, yes.
Have you seen it? They haven't even got a safety balcony. There's no balustrade on the. People don't fall off to their death because they're not stupid.
No. Because they're not stupid, Dave. Because they're adults. Or if they're not adults, they're sensible human beings. Douglas Adams, one of his characters in the book, decided that he wanted to move out of the asylum which the rest of the Earth had become. We spoke about this before. And the point at which he decided that the Earth had now gone completely insane was when he found instructions on a box of matches. I want to go further. So this is actually true. So back in the day, manuals had a lot of safety instructions as well, like they do today, right? But they were very different. Different safety instructions. So 50 years ago, in an owner's manual on a car, you'd say, this is the battery, you're going to be handling it carefully, there's acid inside, so just be sensible. Yeah, okay, well, thank you very much. Today, one of the warnings is not to drink the liquid inside the battery. We've gotten to the point where we have to tell. Because the thing is this, they wouldn't have put it there.
That's right.
If it hadn't happened. And that's more than once.
Don't
drink the battery acid. That's good advice.
In the States, the fuel bowser for your car, the gas bowser, the one where you take the nozzle and stick it into the car and you clench the mechanism and it fills your car up with gasoline, that's got a sticker on it. Guess what that sticker says, Mickey?
Don't overfill?
No, do not stick into anus.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. No. 100%. Yes, I'll find an example for you, and I'll post it into our chat. It's because it's happened.
I'm with Douglas Adams. I mean, if our society is at the point where that's an actual warning label, I'm not sure there's any hope left to be. I'm not sure we should be doing this show, Dave. So I don't think it's much of a point.
Yeah.
Aliens just have to sit. If there were like bad aliens out there, they just sit back. Let's sit back. Enjoy pina colada. You know, some long strain proteins. Whatever you want to do. Just sit back. Don't worry. They're going to take care of themselves sooner rather than later. I mean, that's just, I had no idea. That's just incredible, Dave.
It isn't fair. Snopes say it's unproven, but the stickers, there's photographs of the stickers out there. So I'm just going to send that to you and just forget Snopes. Half the stuff that Snopes says isn't real is real. It's only because someone paid
them. Just ask ChatGPT. Yeah, of course.
You know.
Of course. But I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, the warning signs that we see these days. And not only that, but also think about all the things that we're no longer allowed to do. And look, are seatbelts a good idea? Sure. I think they're a good idea. Right? But if you don't wear it, then that's on you. Right? I mean, I think you should make your kids wear it, but if you really don't want to wear it, then you don't wear it. I mean, it's your life. Okay? Helmets on bicycles. I never, in Germany, and I was riding through snow. I was riding in the dark. I was running up mountains with traffic.
What?
No one asked me to wear a helmet.
When we were kids, the first thing we did with our bicycle was take all the reflectors off it. Like we had race bikes. We only wore a helmet because it was regged. We had to do that to race. But other than that, I'm going to tell you that I drilled out. In metal shop in California, I drilled out most of the parts of my bike, except for the frame. I left the frame intact because that was a Quicksilver chromoly frame, and I wasn't touching that right? But I drilled out the seat pole, the pedals, the handlebars. Man, it would have played like a recorder as I drove along with the wind, but. I took so much material off that bike that it was so light. And I used to race and jump and do all tricks and stuff. Yeah, crazy, man.
But I am still here.
And we did live and we jumped over stupid things. And I'll say that despite maybe the playgrounds, Mickey, I don't know. Here there were playgrounds that were at least had a metal contraption over bitumen
Oh yeah.
That was more than 2 meters tall And you could just hang on like monkey bars, right? But it wasn't a dome. It was just, I don't know, like uneven bars, but one high, one was like 3 meters high and the other was 2 meters high. You really had to struggle to get on it. And if you fell down, you broke something, right? You just did. There wasn't even that cushy ground stuff that they have today. You know that minced up car tire rubber stuff? No.
Nothing like that.
Yeah, yeah. But you know what? If the first time you fell off, you learnt not to do that again. Right? But you know, you exit, this is the last one, the AbFab complaint to match all complaints for the whole of human history, going forward and backward. And that is when Edwina is in the stand and she's trying to defend herself being drunk. She ends up getting into a rant, which is hilarious. And she says, you know, why are you booking me, blah, blah, blah. You should book the stupid people. You know, the reason why they put those fences up outside the shopping center so stupid people don't just wander into traffic.
Oh, that's cool.
I love that. That's cool. Such a good defense that I, you know, if I ever need it, I'm going to use it. But I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised because there are, I think, like a zombie apocalypse where the weight of the war is easily lost to the zombies. Because every time they bite someone, they take it out of your side and it ends up on their side, right? So it shifts in their favor really quickly. I think the same thing's happening with stupid people. So the people that all of these signs are for, because they're not for me. You know, don't stick in the mouth of anus, right? That's not for me. I'm kind of across that already, right? Don't have to tell me, not twice, you don't have to tell me about that. And all the other warning signs out there, I go past them. My brain goes, not for you. It applies to someone, but it's not you.
Do you know Ricky? You know Ricky Gervais?
Yeah, I do. I love his work.
He's phenomenal. He said, when you die, mm-hmm. it doesn't hurt you, but it hurts all the people around you. So you being dead
mm-hmm.
hurts everybody around you.
Yeah.
It's the same with being stupid.
Yeah.
It doesn't hurt you. It hurts everyone around you. And look, that's really where we, I mean, but see, I don't blame people here. And I don't, you know, I tell you why.
No, because, likewise.
Because we have been nannied into a nanny state mm-hmm. over decades
mm-hmm.
where all personal responsibility has been taken from us. Everything is spoon-fed. I mean, do you remember the case of the kids in New York that sued McDonald's because they were obese?
Oh, yeah,
I mean, it's like, okay, what do you think would happen if this is all you eat?
There was also a person who burnt themselves on the hot apple pie, and someone who's spilled hot coffee on themselves and sued McDonald's.
Yeah.
And won. And that's money, right? Well, it's quite hot because I burnt myself. Right? Maybe I should have read the packet. Can I have a lukewarm apple pie?
My coffee. Yeah, but the thing is, unless it's the first one you ever bought in your life, that's you know what to expect. You know?
That's right.
But even then you go, okay, well, it says hot. I wonder if they really mean hot. Right?
How should I test that?
Well, they meant it.
How should I test that hot coffee? That's what I'll do. I'll spill it on my person.
On my private parts, no less. That'll do.
No less. Yes. So,
ooh, that hurts good. Yeah, no, they were serious. This is hot.
Yeah, that's right. That was their final determination. But like, I'm passing it back to you. There's only 3 minutes left.
Oh, look, what can I say? We are living, and the whole system, as I said earlier, is rigged. Mm-hmm. We're living in a system that has educated us away from being sensible human beings who have common sense, right? Not just sense, but we have common sense. Maybe I shouldn't jump into that ravine. Maybe I shouldn't dive head first into this shallow pool. You know, maybe I shouldn't aggravate the Rottweilers over the fence. You know, maybe these are all bad things for me to do. Now, if you have to be told this, you have to ask yourself seriously, do I belong here? Is this a place where I should be? Right? Because the Darwin Awards, they're there. They're real. And maybe you deserve one. Maybe you should have a Darwin Award, is my opinion here, right? No, but again, it's not your fault. And I'm being harsh, unnecessarily so. You have been educated away. And to be honest, most of our listeners are probably not like that. But out in the world, those people have been educated away from being sensible human beings, from acting like adults when they're adults. But even children could be trusted with guns. Mm-hmm. Children. Mm-hmm. Why? Because they were taught that this is a dangerous implement. You only use it, you know, when and if you know what you're doing. You don't just, it's not a toy, right? I mean, I remember my parents always telling me, this is not a toy. It can hurt you. I don't believe you. Ouchie, you were right. So it is really this, because people, and maybe it goes with the Great Reset, because if you don't have responsibility for anything, including yourself, then why should you own anything? Right? It's the next logical step. You are no longer a fully functioning human being, an adult, you're not. So why should you own anything? Makes no sense. I'm telling you what to do anyway. So so just give me everything you have and I'll give you everything that you need. Not what you want, but what you need. And I determine, you know, after a while, what it is that you need. Because I'm a good guy.
Thank you.
A good guy. I know. Hey, Dave, just trust me. Close your eyes.
Uh-oh.
Let the meds do their work.
Yeah.
Liz, we will all be... Is it the music? Oh, yeah. It is. Okay, hey. This has been Plato's Cave. Thank you so much for listening, for letting us into your lives, and hopefully for coming back soon. Hopefully our internet is going to be back up. Now, I don't know who's on next, but please stay tuned. It's going to be awesome. And most of all, be good!
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
We're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of
be
more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard, you've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look!
It's just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, and stupidity.
I'll do you for that. Oh, what? Come here. What are you going to do, bleed on me? I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Roundtable Live, Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com.
Are you interested in the paranormal? Murder mystery? Real natural law? You enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crip Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. right here on Revolution Radio. Studio A, freedomslips.com. Trip Riff, I think.